We are live, baby! Welcome to the Resistance Broadcast, everybody. John here, telling you, I hope you are all having a wonderful Star Wars week, because it is Star Wars Day Saturday. So we all know the real holiday is Star Wars Day Eve, which is today. So we're going
to
celebrate Star Wars.
I was waiting for you to say Eve.
Yeah, we're going to celebrate Star Wars the best way we know how, and that is with some TRB Live. So, Lacey, what is going on? What shirt are you rocking today? What is it?
I am rocking the Old Man Luke from Celebration 2016.
Yes. Was that
First
in
London?
Was that London? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I'm rocking the now old TRB logo shirt.
Oh, it is? Yeah. Look at our new logo on the screen for those of you audio. Sorry you can't see it, but just go to our YouTube channel and subscribe and you can see it.
Yeah, check it out.
And our new little setup here. We got a new base.
Yeah, we have new cover art coming to the podcast feeds as well. It should be on all podcast feeds except Apple. Apple's making me draw blood and send the blood in, and then we'll try to get that figured out. But we want to thank everybody who's been just in the trenches with us as we've been going through this sort of unexpected transition and adding this new show. So yeah, before we get into all the Star Wars, first off, thank you to everybody who's listening to the show. Thank you so much for being a part of TRB. It means so much to us. We're very excited for what's ahead for this podcast. Whether you're watching live or you're listening on your favorite podcast app, just make sure you're subbed to us, because there's a lot more content coming from us. And that includes our new pop culture podcast. So if you like what we do here for TRB and you like the style in which we do it, we're going to take that feeling, that vibe, whatever you want to call it, and turn that onto overall pop culture and entertainment on Nerdy and Nice, which is going to be on its own podcast feeds, but the video version will still be on our channel here, which is youtube.com/@TRBpodcasts. But check it out, Nerdy and Nice. It's going to be launching on your favorite podcast app Monday. So be sure to follow, subscribe, all that stuff there. And yeah, Monday, May 6th is the debut of that. We're going to talk about all the Ryan Gosling stuff going on, anything happening.
It's really his year, honestly.
We'll talk about it on Nerdy and Nice, but that guy is on another level at this point. It's insane. He's not in Star Wars, and this is our Star Wars show. So we're going to get to that. If you are a patron of TRB, you're ahead of the game. But if you haven't yet, check it out. Go to patreon.com/resistancebroadcast and check out our tiers. We actually might as well do that now. We're going to debut sort of the new look and new names of our tiers. Now, if you're an existing patron...
Can I do one thing first, though, before we do this?
Yeah.
Can I give a shout out to all the people on our Discord server? And all the people in our community there, because what I've seen in the past few days, as in yesterday and today, with the Star Wars Celebration ticket sale was so, not to be lame, magical, of people helping each other, people cheering each other on to get tickets, giving advice, talking through the anxiety around getting Celebration tickets. And we were all in a voice chat together earlier, and everyone was just so wonderful. And we really made it an event for ourselves, that we were all kind of joking around and laughing. And I just really love everybody on the Patreon. And I want to give a shout out to those people that really helped each other. Even if they had tickets, they still stuck around to give support and make sure everybody got what they needed. So excited to meet you all in Japan. But thank you for supporting one another, because that's why we have the Patreon page and the community there, is to find our people, so to speak. So I just want to give a shout out before we get going. Yeah.
And, you know, there's obviously most people aren't going to Celebration, and we understand that. But for the people that are going, we have a great community. And every time we go, they all make me feel at home, because I do get homesick quite a bit as those trips get pretty long. Check out the Patreon page for sure. If you're already a patron, you're good to go. You're going to get access to all of the extra stuff we're going to be doing for our other podcast as well. But check out our tiers at patreon.com/resistancebroadcast. They start at $5. And
TRB podcast. We did.
patreon.com/TRB podcasts. So check it out. and sign up if you'd like to support. But yeah, let's take a look at our new artwork. We'll explain it. We'll do it quickly, and we'll explain it, the images, for our audio people. But here are our new tiers, starting with our marquee majors. And the image we have for that, Lacey wanted to go with some Singing in the Rain. So we have holding Grogu, who has a little umbrella, and they are hanging off a lamppost as a la Singing in the Rain. Mm-hmm. Very cool. And then we have our red carpet commanders. And the image for that is C-3PO and R2-D2 in tuxedos on a red carpet. And yes, R2 is wearing a tuxedo vest.
Yeah, and we're keeping the names of the positions on the tiers the same because we know that you guys have taken pride in those names, and we love, you know, talking about our commanders and our majors and our admirals, etc. So we're just doing a pop culture spin on the Star Wars stuff because, as you know, we're growing into the pop culture podcast mm-hmm. space. So we wanted to just keep our true roots and nostalgia right. for TRB while also growing it to the whole pop culture stuff too.
Exactly. And next up, we have the A-list admirals.
It's so ridiculous.
Now, I had to fight Lacey on this one because she wanted to do reverse and have Leia behind
Han. I did.
Han. I was like, no.
But this was my idea. Yeah. This was my idea. And then I was like, mm-hmm. what if we did reverse? And John was like, absolutely not. So,
but there you have the A-list admirals there. And then we move on to movie star generals. And we have Yoda in a movie theater with popcorn and the old school blue and red 3D glasses on. So very cool there. And then our final tier, of course, is the silver screen spice runners, which I was like, let's just get Darth Vader dressed up as George Lucas sitting in a director's chair. And that's exactly what we got. And shout out to our good friend, Brian Ward, who we've been working tirelessly behind the scenes and just throwing these wild, ridiculous ideas at mm-hmm. him. And he's, been a part. He's a little bit of like a part of TRB in that sense because he's always working for us, and we mm-hmm. can't thank him enough for that. So yeah, head to patreon.com/TRB podcasts and join the fun, because not only are you supporting us to allow us to grow, because our second show, Nerdy Nice, wouldn't exist without Patreon support. So let's see where else we can take this thing while keeping all the current fun we have. All right. So, anything else, Gillerin, before we get after things here?
No, I'm just so excited about these, new tiers. The night we got these, and we were working on them, it was very late because we both work very late on this. I wrote to John in all caps and I was like, oh my God, you are not ready for what I'm about to show you. So I hope people feel the same way, about what we saw, what we shared, because I'm just so proud of them. I'm excited about where we're going, and we're always evolving and listening to your guys' feedback. So yeah, I'm just pumped.
It is funny just being like, what if we got C-3PO and R2-D2 in tuxedos on a red carpet, and then like Brian makes it, and then you see it and you're like, it's the closest thing to seeing your imagination. It's so fun, and this is just the beginning of this next era. So thanks mm-hmm. everybody who already supports us, and if you've been thinking about it, this is definitely the best time, so thank you. But it's showtime, time to talk about Star Wars, and we're going to do that with our first segment, Will the Force.
I fear nothing, for all this as the Force wills it.
Yeah, so Will of the Force, I gave a lovely description last week about this segment, but I'll keep it straightforward. This is a segment where we give will you, won't you, will they, won't they scenarios in Star Wars, in the galaxy at large, both, you know, production as well as fictional, and we discuss them and we give our thoughts and feelings and everything in between. But this is also a segment where we let our patrons, which we just gave that whole spiel about Patreon, we give them a chance to be a part of the show. So they get to give their scenarios and we answer them and they get a little shout out on the show. So thank you guys so much for those people I did submit. So we're going to kick it off with someone, Admiral Darth Snips. What up, girl? She said, will we see Omega show up in any future shows? Why are you laughing?
What up, girl?
You're welcome. Andor as a rebellion pilot, Mando, Ahsoka.
Can you read the question again? Because I interrupted it.
What up, girl? Will we see Omega show up in any future shows, Andor as a Rebellion pilot, Mando, Ahsoka? John, what do you think?
That's tough. I don't know, because I don't know if they were going to try to line her up with Boba Fett, because they're technically like siblings.
Yeah, right.
But and I had heard that they were going to do more Boba Fett, and then they're not because of the shift and everything to theaters again. So I'm not sure. If I had to guess, I'm going to say no. Happy to be wrong, but we've been hearing for a couple of years about Cal Kestis making the jump from video game to live action. We haven't seen that yet.
Maybe even every hint about that, huh?
And that's been out. He's been out a bit longer. I'm going to lean towards no. Happy to be wrong. I have no problems with Omega as a character. And it'd be curious to see where they take it with a live action medium, which tends to have a bit more. Even though Bad Batch and a lot of the animation is serious, I think the live action stuff is, you know, more of the meatier stuff. But I'm gonna say no, though. I don't know why. I'm just feeling no right now.
Yeah, I'm gonna say we will not, which makes me sad because I know a lot of fans want to see where she goes from here, and they left it pretty wide open, as we'll get into eventually in this discussion tonight with the Bad Batch, but. For her to be in Andor, it would have had to be planned way in advance. And I don't know if that story was planned that far out. You know, I always question how far ahead they think these stories are going to progress, because as we've seen with Lucasfilm, they don't even know if they're getting a season two of something. So I'm going to say no. And it's not because I don't want it. It's just that a lot of planning would have had to go into this, unless they do reshoots. You know, they could do reshoots and throw her in somewhere as an Easter egg in the background. But yeah, I'm gonna say no.
All right.
Sorry, I'm next. I just paused, like, okay, what's the next question? And I'm the one reading the question, so it makes no sense. Okay. Will anyone we've seen in the Acolyte trailers or clips be killed in the first two episodes of the series, which both debut on June 4th. So if those of you at home that are, you know, following along, John and I have a pie bet going, as in a pizza pie bet, that on May 4th, we're going to get, well, not just May 4th. I think they're going to put out a trailer on May 4th, a new Acolyte trailer. But the bet is that any future trailer for the Acolyte has Yoda in it. So we will see if I'm right about a trailer and or Yoda on this Saturday, which is, you know, 1 month out. But John, do you think anybody is going to be killed? Will they get killed?
I say yes. I think we are going to get... I don't think it's going to be a trailer. I think we're going to see like a few minutes of the show. For the Phantom Menace stuff, because I think it said like a exclusive look or a first look or an extended look or something at the Acolyte. I don't know if we're going to get another trailer. I think there will be another trailer, but I don't know if it'll be on May 4th. But we are getting obviously more Acolyte footage coming this weekend. Where did it debut? Was it Mexico? Where was that?
So this weekend is the Comic-Con in Mexico, and it's also Star Wars Day. And they have an Acolyte panel planned on Star Wars Day that they've released on their schedules and said, hey, this is happening. And it's sponsored by Disney, Walt Disney Pictures, Disney Plus.
Right.
So to me, that says official stuff. We'll see what actors and stuff show up in Mexico, but I think we're going to get a trailer on Star Wars Day. What better way to celebrate Star Wars Day and to get that publicity than to pump out a trailer on the day that everybody's talking about Star Wars?
The reason I say that is I watched that. I mean, it's been going around. I haven't shared it or anything like that, but I saw the leaked footage of that someone filmed, and I don't know where that was debuted, though. Do we know where that?
It was in a movie theater. It was in France. Someone filmed it on the screen. It was, I think, before Phantom Menace or something.
Oh, so that is going to be the Phantom Menace stuff for sure. That's interesting.
I'm pretty sure.
So yeah. That's definitely not a trailer. I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not going to share, you know, what that is if you haven't caught it online or whatever. But I saw it, and I'm definitely excited. But I think with this show, it's just going to be so wild card, and it's I think Leslie Headland's going to sort of go against the grain of convention and cliche. And I think when we think they're going to turn, they're going to go straight. When we think they're going to go straight, they're going to turn. And with that, I think we may see a Scream type of situation where it's like, oh, Drew Barrymore is in this new horror movie. And like 8 minutes into the movie, see ya.
So who do you think is going to be that person?
I don't know who, but I think
it's like Carrie Ann Moss, though, right?
People have said that. I just think we're gonna come out of those first two episodes like, oh yeah, this is not what I thought. Wow. And I think someone who has been a part of the cast and been publicized and talked about and in snippets is gonna get so that for the rest of the show, we're sort of on the edge of our seats going like, I have no idea what's about to happen. No, all bets are off. It's dark side time now. It's, you know, all bets are off here. No one is safe. This isn't the fairy tale anymore. So I think so. I think Leslie Headland's gonna kill someone off in her directed episodes.
That's the first two is your question. Yeah. I mean, I think someone definitely is gonna die. I don't know who it's gonna be. I don't think it's gonna be someone that we've seen in the trailers, though. Mm. I think it's gonna be kind of not important people. Because a lot of the characters we see that are the build people that have been at Comic Cons or doing interviews, they're in multiple clips, and then they're also in that big fight scene clip in the trailer in the forest. So unless that happens in the first two episodes, like, are they doing the formula that they've done before with, remember all the Mando stuff? We've always seen trailers that they end up using only clips from the first two episodes. Do you think that's the case with the trailers we've seen so far?
Yeah, they didn't do that for Ahsoka, but yeah, it could be. That wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. Especially
I remember they did do that for Mando.
Especially for a show that's a mystery, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I bet you ever, I wonder if this analogy works, but you ever like know something, but the person you're talking to doesn't know it. But because you know it, you think it's obvious. You know what I'm saying? But
yes.
And the other person's like, they have no idea. I bet making mysteries and stuff like that is like that. So much so that they try to test it on people to see if they can guess it. So I'm not saying test screenings, but they probably bring crew members in and people who aren't going to screw them over and be like, watch this scene, or what do you think of this? Is this too telling? I bet there's so much of that, because when you have a mystery and you want to preserve that for the big surprise, especially Lucasfilm, who likes preserving every surprise, even the small things, you want it to be organically received by your audience, and you don't want them to figure it out too soon.
I mean, that's a Disney thing too. That's not just Lucasfilm. I think every big, especially Disney and Marvel and Lucasfilm, but like every big studio wants that big, oh my gosh moment. Cause I remember when I worked for Comic-Cons, it would be very frustrating when you were trying to sell tickets and you knew a certain guest or someone was going to show up and you couldn't say anything because they wanted it to be a big surprise. And you were like, well, if you tell people in advance, then you're going to fill up the room.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we knew George Clooney was coming to the Tomorrowland panel at New York Comic Con in 2014. And I remember it was like a big thing that we were like, if we can say he's coming, you'll fill up that main stage room. But then they were concerned. They were like, well, what if it doesn't fill up? And I'm like, if you just said who is there, then it would fill the room, you know? And they were giving out all these very expensive prints, I remember, like very nice concept art prints of Tomorrowland.
What a stinker. Oh, yeah.
It's just frustrating, especially for organizers. I feel for you because I've been in those, you know, in those shoes of, if you just let me promote it, it'll be the best thing you've ever seen. But
I'm gonna go on eBay right now and look for signed Tomorrowland posters, because nobody wants those anymore.
They had
boom, there it is.
They weren't signed. You had to go to a signing for it. It was signed by the guy that drew it. I forget what his name was. Sydney something, I think.
Sid Mead.
That's what it was. Not Sid Mead. Sid Mead.
Sid Mead. $50 on eBay. There you go. Save yourself a flight to New York.
But it was the Big Hero 6 panel too, so
Yeah.
Oh, that was, but Tomorrowland was one of those movies that like had so much promise from the trailers. You were like, oh my gosh, like where she like touched the coin and it brought her to this new land.
Was it supposed to be like the Disneyland? Is that what it like? Is there any correlation?
It was the live action kind of correlation to, you know how they were doing all the ride stuff with Pirates of the Caribbean? It was like after that. They were like, oh, let's do this.
Man.
It was cool though. It was like super cool. And it had like, she had a pin that like would transport her to this magical land. And there was so like, just the concept of that seemed so cool. And it was done by Damon Lindelof. And then once again, he just dropped the ball.
You fired. Yeah. People say Solo bombed at $400 million. That movie made $200 million on like a $190 million budget plus marketing. What a tank.
I really wanted to like that movie. I went to the theater to see it. I was like hyped.
I haven't seen it, so I got to be fair. Who knows? Maybe I watch it and I think it's like the
greatest. Maybe we should watch it together and you could tell
me. Let's do it. Let's watch it. Okay. I'll roast it if I need to.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Last but not least, Patreon submission. Thank you so much, Admiral Michael. Thank you so much for your submission. It is, will the Sith Lord of the Acolyte be a known or unknown Star Wars character? I'm going to start this one. I think it's going to be an unknown person. I think Leslie Headland's going for very secretive. She keeps saying things like, it's not who you think it is. You know, kind of going back to that marketing with Luke Skywalker in The Last Jedi. It makes me a little nervous. But it's like, this is not going to go the way you think it's going to go. It's a mystery. I think it's going to be someone we don't know.
Now, are you referring to the Acolyte themselves? Because he's asking about whoever the Acolyte's reporting to.
Both. I'm saying everything is an unknown. We don't know.
Yeah, I think we'll find out midway through this season who the Acolyte is. Because you got to give us something. So we'll find that out. And then we'll find out who they're working for at the very end of the season.
Who, if you were to guess right now, who do you think is the Acolyte?
If I had to guess who the Acolyte is, I would guess. We have some guesses in Resistance Transmissions later, which, by the way, we didn't ask for Ask the Resistance questions because we are doing Resistance Transmissions. So if you sent in replies to our post, which was basically just asking for any predictions that you have for the Acolyte, we're going to read a bunch of those on the show. So there are some interesting ones about that. So I don't want to steal those ideas, but they are interesting. I'll tell you right now, I think it's going to be the goofball. I think it's going to be the guy from Russian Doll.
Manny Jaquito? Oh, no. You're picking the other guy. Yonder. Yeah.
Yes, it's going to be that guy. Because it's going to be Charlie Barnett's Yord Fander because what they do this like when they do mystery movies all the time, the unassuming person, Kevin Spacey in The Usual Suspects. He's crippled. He's kind of useless. Oh, little did I know. And then with Charlie Barnett, he is sort of playing this Jedi who is good. He's a good Jedi, but there's Padawans who are better than him. I could see like maybe a little bit of jealousy brewing with him. And he seems like he's going to be part of like this comic relief. And Daphne Keene said she spent the most time with him and Master Soul for lightsaber fights. So it's Charlie Barnett, it's Daphne Keene, and it's Lee Jung Jae as, I guess, spending the most time together in the fight scenes. I could see him turning on them and us not expecting it because we're looking at Carrie Ann Moss or we're looking at Amanda Stenberg and they're just like, boom, it's this guy. So I'm eyeing him. I think he's the Acolyte. I'm just going for it. We're live. I'm just going for it.
Yeah. The funny thing is when you look at IMDb, his like headshot, he looks like a bad guy. Like when you're looking at him, like he's got that bad guy look.
And also, I don't know how many of these people have worked as much with Leslie Headland, besides her wife, of course, who's in it, but as Charlie Barnett. And I think if you're going to put someone in that type of pivotal role, you want somebody that you know you have confidence in from the past. So I'm picking him. It's going to be wrong. and we're never going to show this clip again, but Charlie Burnett.
Someone write it down what episode this is that John says this, so that if it doesn't happen or it does happen, we can go back to it. I guess my question for you, John, also was, you've watched Russian Doll, right?
Yeah. Well, the
so what kind of character does he play?
Supporting character, sort of friend of, God, what's her name?
Natasha
Lyonne. Yeah. And he goes through, like, he's sort of understanding the experience she's going through, but not, but it's been a while since I watched it, and I did tap out before season two, so I don't know what happens, but it was good. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it for what it was, and I didn't know that I needed a second season, so I just sort of stopped there. Doesn't mean season two is bad. People have said it is. I don't know. But I'm eyeing him. I don't know. That's just a guess. So to me, that's an unknown Star Wars character. So that answers that for you, Michael. But yeah.
I think I'm going to go with the guy from the Good Place, Manny Jacinto.
Okay. So he's playing like sort of this I'm out myself smuggler.
Yeah,
I think scoundrel-y. He's the acolyte.
Really? Like, how crazy would it be if you go through the whole season and he's like, I'm just a guy. And then he pulls out a lightsaber.
And he's like,
how cool would that be?
Little did you know, I went to summer school for learning how to use the Force.
Honestly, it's just like that meme where the old man's getting attacked outside his car and he's like, call the ambulance. And he's like, not for me.
Yeah.
And he's got, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That would be his character, but not for me.
Finger guns.
Well, that's what he does. He like pulls a gun out of his jacket. It's
not ridiculous. For me, buddy. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we threw those out there. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But let's get into other things that did happen this week in Star Wars with Resistance Report.
It's the Resistance.
It's the Resistance. It's the Resistance Report.
Did we want to hit up a super chat before we get into this?
Let's hit up the super chat.
Awesome. David Ford, thank you so much for the super chat. Said, watching Spider-Man 3 at AMC 20 after seeing Civil War for the fifth time at AMC 12. Kirsten Dunst double feature part 3. I was going to say, didn't you just say this last week, David? It's the same super chat.
Absolutely. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
I love Kirsten Dunst. Everyone knows that.
No, you don't.
No, really.
You do not. No, you do not.
Hey, Adam. Good to see you. All right. Let's see here. Someone in the chat said, am I having sake bombs with John in Japan? I think it might have been Maddie Gunner. And the answer is yes. We're going to do all the sake bombs. We're going to drink all the sake that they have. Okay. Let's get into the news, but before that, let's talk about the end of The Bad Batch. Now, if you haven't been following The Bad Batch reaction show, James did his final video for the series finale, so check that out for his extensive review on the YouTube channel. And as far as I go, I enjoyed The Bad Batch. I'm not going to say it's my favorite Star Wars animated show. Rebels still owns that for me. But I'll put it right behind Rebels, and ahead of Clone Wars. And I
really,
And I think it's because they've upped the game from a production standpoint across the board, which goes with anything. If you look at, you know, video games from the early 2000s, and we all thought like, wow, these look so realistic. And then you watch it now and you play them now and you're like, ooh, not so much. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the animation. You know, Clone Wars came out 15 years ago. You can even go back further for the early iterations. But the scores, the Kiner family has done such a great job. I'm not sure who does what specifically at this point. I don't know how much involvement Kevin has. I don't know what the dichotomy is there. We had Kevin on years ago on the podcast.
Mm-hmm. But very nice.
The animation is spectacular. And I thought they told a really good story. The only thing that made me chuckle a bit was, you know, and spoilers here, if you haven't watched Bad Batch, maybe hop out, but hopefully you're here fully understanding we're going to talk about it, is all of Hemlock's data is destroyed, seemingly, and then Tarkin rolls up, and he's like, channel all remaining funds to Project Stardust. And a beautifully voiced job, as always, by our friend Steven Stanton. Haven't spoken in a while, Steven, but I hope you're doing well. Great as always. So thank you for bringing Tarkin back to life for us here. But so I just sort of found it funny, three seasons and what are they using Omega for and all that, and it all gets destroyed, and then all the remaining funds goes to the Death Star, which is just like as close to home as you can get with Star Wars. But at the
same
time,
it's so Tarkin at the same time to step in and be like, I'm selfishly doing this.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I was happy to see that the rest of the Bad Batch survived. They can certainly be brought back later in live action with Tamara Morrison or other animated stuff. I was okay with the prologue. Interested to see what they do with Omega. As we've talked about before, you know, are we going to see her again? We'll see. But it was a nice ending. Like, I wasn't blown away or anything, and I don't think I'm going to sit here and say this is the greatest show ever, but I enjoyed it. And I'm glad I watched it. I'm glad they made it. And it was cool seeing clones that have a bit more of unique personalities and are a little weird and a little different. And the whole found family, even though they are genetically family, technically.
Right.
It was all very Star Wars and very well done. And I enjoyed the series. And I think they ended it nicely. And it gives them the opportunity to do more with these characters, but doesn't force them to if they don't have to. And I think that's always going to be the spot there, especially with things that come in between the concrete stuff that'll never get wiped, the live action and other animated things. But so overall for me, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good finale. 50 minutes, I'm glad, because I felt like they would have rushed everything.
I was surprised to see it was 50 minutes. That's awesome.
Yeah. And I also like the fact that Omega, you know, we didn't see her sort of in the future with a robe and a lightsaber. And then we start wondering, like, well, where was that Jedi when we were talking about Luke being the last Jedi? It's like, no, she sort of went a different route like Leia did. And she's, I'm going to become a pilot. That doesn't mean she doesn't explore that in the future. Luke, obviously, great pilot. Anakin, great pilot. Still going on to become Jedi. But it looks like Omega wants to choose more of the path of being a part of the ragtag group of pilots, and I think that could be something interesting. Maybe Rogue Squadron one day. Maybe she's in charge of Rogue Squadron. Who knows? But Omega lives, Bad Batch lives, happily ever after, except for Tech, of course. But overall,
Tech, RIP.
Show for the Bad Batch. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I was very surprised it was a happy ending. I'm not going to lie, and I know that sounds terrible, but it's true. I think it was a wholesome ending. I love that all the kids were saved as well. That was a big concern for me. I was like, can we please not leave these kids behind? I'm interested to see what they do with these characters moving forward. I think there's a lot of fan love for the Bad Batch and for Omega. As you can see in our Will of the Force, whether she's going to show up again is already coming out of, you know, big conversations for fans. So I do hope we see them again, because I think it would be a great way to tie everything together. But just like John, like, was this my favorite animation series? No, absolutely not. I think Rebels is still number one. I don't think anything can really compare to Rebels. Rebels is some of the best Star Wars storytelling out there. But is it fun? Is it enjoyable? Does it tie into other things within Star Wars? Absolutely. And does it give people more characters to love and to kind of geek out about? Yes, because everybody has their favorites. So I'm just pumped for the people that love Bad Batch this much. They were able to get this really, really nice ending and kind of leave it open-ended. John, I think you said it perfectly. It's open enough that if they want to bring them back, they can, but it's not basically promising anything.
Right.
So there's so many different avenues they can go to keep telling these stories. I mean, we could get them back 10 years from now. We don't really know. Right. But I'm glad they left that door open.
Yeah. And I was talking to some people about, you know, what the timeline is on the epilogue. And I mean, Hunter looks old. It seems like the Rebel Alliance is sort of a thing at this point. So it's got to be around Battle of Yavin, maybe a couple years before. So I'm thinking maybe they jumped anywhere from 10 to 15 years after the end of the present events of the Bad Batch. But right. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do. And this all this praise comes from me as someone who really isn't that big a fan of clones. And I think the reason why I like the Bad Batch so much is because they were quirky and weird and different. It just was more endearing of characters to me. And I know people who are like Rex fans are going to like turn off the podcast now or whatever, but I like him too. But these guys were
Dee Bradley Baker killed it.
Yeah.
Talk about the MVP. Literally, they showed footage today of him doing all the voices. It was so insane.
Good. So yeah. Good. Yeah. And he'll be back in one way or another. Mm-hmm. All right. So, beyond the Bad Batch, I know we do have, looks like we have some super chats before we get into our next story, which is a little interesting.
Mm-hmm. So first up, we have Jolton Jedi DiMaggio. Hey man, what's up? Thank you for the super chat so much. Thank you. He said, just stopping in. Keep tearing it up. Love you guys. We love you too.
Nice. Thanks, to buddy. Hear from you.
And Christy gave us a super chat, but forgot to write something. Christy, no, what happened? But then she came back again. Thank you so much for another super chat. She said, scored tickets to Star Wars Celebration. I can't wait to meet you guys. IRL, parenthesis, just found out what that meant. In Japan, also got my bestie, Josh B, to join your Patreon. Oh my gosh. And then Josh did join.
Josh B! Said,
just joined at Admiral. Thanks, Lacey, for helping us on Discord. Been listening for months. Can't wait to meet y'all. We're excited to meet you too. And as I said at the top, Josh, actually, I was saying a shout out to everybody in Patreon that helped each other. And it was just, this is the kind of stuff that I live for within the Star Wars fandom, is like those moments where we all get together and we joke and we get each other through, you know, stressful ticket purchases or what have you, in a way that's just like, it reminds you why you're a part of a community like this. So we're so excited for you to join. Expect a message from me, because I message everybody when they join.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. Thank you, Christy, for spreading the word. And thank you for joining, man. That's very cool. Mm-hmm. All right. Let us get into our next story. Very interesting. So Disney sent us the upcoming slate for the rest of 2024. And I just happened to notice that Skeleton Crew is not on it. Now,
I love how you're saying just happened, like you weren't scanning it for Star Wars properties.
Yeah.
Just happened. Casual.
Oh yeah, I was looking it over and I was like, all right, well, maybe, you know, because it doesn't have a date yet. But then at the bottom it says projects without dates, and it says Eyes of Wakanda 2024 and Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man 2024, both also Disney Plus properties. So it rules out the, well, it's a Disney Plus thing, they don't have a date yet. It's like, well, then wouldn't that have been listed next to these two? So has Skeleton Crew been pushed to 2025 is my question, and I'm gonna assume that it has.
I think it has too. I think they're spreading out their content. We're seeing the repercussions of the strikes, which again, we fully support those strikes and we're glad that everybody got the deal that they wanted. People deserve to be paid for their value and their work. But I wouldn't be surprised if this was a repercussion for that, like that they're trying to spread their stuff out. There's a lot of stuff going on between Marvel and Disney and everything else that they're trying to be strategic about Star Wars, because they did push the movies back. So they need something for next year. You know,
well, Andor, they have Andor.
I know they have Andor, but they need something on both sides of the year, not just one side.
Sure. Yeah, it's so that sort of leaves the rest of after Acolyte, it leaves the rest of 2024 open, right? Am I missing, because Tales of the Empire is coming out one and done on Saturday. Bad Batch Droids is done.
Yeah.
So that might be it for Star Wars big stuff after the Acolyte. So halfway through the year, we'll be looking towards obviously Celebration Japan and also Andor season 2 and Skeleton Crew. It's just interesting because the Skeleton Crew filmed like a long time ago at this point. Like those kids are going to come around to promote those things and they're going to be like 35. Remember when we filmed?
Yeah, they were showing us stuff at last Celebration last April, so a year ago. So they filmed that stuff in 2022.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Very interesting indeed. So let us know in the comments, whether you're in the chat or you're watching on YouTube, or hit us up on social media, what you think. You think Skeleton Crew has been bumped to 2025? You cool with that? Let us know. I was kind of looking forward to a nice Amblin family Star Wars type of thing for the holidays, but looks like we might not be getting that.
I've said that that was my most excited thing for this year, was Skeleton Crew for me. I was so pumped for this. They call it like Stranger Things Star Wars. Like,
yeah,
give it to me. I love that. I love Goonies. Love that stuff.
But some good news about Skeleton Crew. Not that this is necessarily bad news. I think we all just want our Star Wars if it's ready to go.
Yeah,
but Variety had an interview with Kerry Condon, part of the cast, and she had filmed it before she even made a name for herself, really. And she said it's playful and lovely, and she had a lot of great things to say about it. Lacey, did you happen to catch what Kerry Condon said, and does it shed any different sort of light on Skeleton Crew for you? What are your takes on that?
I did. Did you want me to read the quote?
Sure. Yeah.
So the quote was, "It's so great. I don't even have kids, but I'd pay to see this. I loved it. I loved being on it. There was something about it that was so innocent and playful and lovely. People say don't work with kids or animals, but I don't know about that. And also, when children are good actors, they're kind of out of this world good. So watching some of the kids' scenes, it was amazing. Jude Law's in it, and I've worked with him before, but it's really adventurous, and they've got such a great director for each episode. The Daniels, Bryce Dallas Howard, Lee Isaac Chung, Dave Lowery, it was a pretty amazing group. And of course, John Watts, who created the whole thing.
Yeah.
So John Watts of Spider-Man fame. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm pumped. This to me says that these kids are amazing actors, which to me sells whatever they're trying to do. Because even though I loved Little Princess Leia in Obi-Wan Kenobi, there were moments that you could tell that it was a little outside of her acting ability, like a little bit, like the chase scenes in the beginning of the season stuff. And it took me out a little bit. Whereas I feel like early seasons of the Stranger Things series, those kids are awesome. They're so good. So I'm all about it. And John, I know at Celebration you were so happy and laughing because you were sitting near me when the kids were on stage, and like how they were. I'm saying I heard you laughing. I'm not making it up. That's what I was saying.
Oh, I thought you said I was happy because I was sitting next to you. I was like, that is
No. Sitting near me. So I know you were
what
laughing.
What confidence.
I mean, maybe. No, I just know how hyped you were when those kids came out on stage, and Jon Favreau was so protective of them and excited to show the world who they are. It is weird that this show's coming out a little bit later, but anybody saying that, you know, people say don't work with kids and animals, but I loved it. These kids are out of this world. First of all, great phrase. Second of all, I couldn't be more excited. I want more family-friendly, fun adventure content in Star Wars. I feel like we've been going too far into the nitty-gritty, dark stuff, which I understand people want. I'm not saying it's not good. Andor's amazing. But sometimes you just want something that feels like a warm hug. And this sounds like that's what it is.
Yeah. That was definitely one of my favorite memories from Celebration. More so than, like, I don't really remember the Acolyte footage we saw, for example.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, it takes me multiple watches when it comes to like trailers and stuff. I'm just so in the moment, overwhelmed. I'm like, oh, I'm like Dr. Pershing getting like his brain melted. I'm like, oh,
God, it makes me feel so anxious when you bring that up. That was one of the worst things I've ever watched in Star Wars.
What, Dr. Pershing getting his brain melted?
Yes. Because it's something absolutely horrifying and out of your control.
True.
You know what I mean? Like, you have no control and you're watching it happen, and it, oh God, I hate it. Nope. No, thank you.
One of my standout memories was Favreau, and you know, that the stage isn't very long. It's wide, but it's not very long. And they went to go turn around to look at the footage for Skeleton Crew, and Favreau just goes, kids, watch out for the edge of the stage. Careful. I'm like, that that was like the sweetest thing, because you have this big time director and he could just be like all about himself and about his stuff. He was worried about the kids not falling off the stage. And I was already a big Jon Favreau fan, but that like sealed the deal that he's just a good dude. And I'll always root for him, which is why I'm rooting very hard for the Mandalorian and Grogu movie. But, you know, seeing him looking out for those kids was such a nice moment, because I also loved that these kids weren't on stage like miniature grownups trying to act like they were these professionals. They were like kids.
And they were letting them be kids, yeah.
They were awkward. They were weird. And I loved every part of it. And honestly, if people who didn't go to Celebration last year were like, what stuff from these panels would you suggest I see if I can magically see it? That would be that whole moment with seeing the kids and how Favreau acted with them. I would want people to see that.
They did the whole thing that little kids do where they're like, so my dad
watched
Star Wars. Right. And
how fidgety they were.
I was acting with Jude Law.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
It was very, very sweet and very cool. But I think this is, nothing too surprising here. She's not going to go out and say, like, the kids did their best. Let's be honest. They weren't the greatest. The budget wasn't there.
Could you imagine? But, they're fine.
But at the same time, she didn't have to say anything. So she went out there and said, I just want to make sure people know that these kids are it. They killed it. They're great. You're going to fall in love with them. The only bummer is, like I was saying, like, they're going to be like 4 years older by the time this thing comes out from when they filmed it. So what does that mean for the future of Skeleton Crew? Because kids grow up fast. I was looking at videos of my son from last year playing T-ball. I'm like, he was so much littler, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway.
It goes fast.
All right, you want to move on?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's go to our next story, which is Steven Knight, quick little quote, writing the upcoming Rey Star Wars movie, confirmed he's still writing it, which is very important in this day and age. Looking at you, Michael Waldron, who was writing that Kevin Feige Star Wars movie.
He was so excited.
That apparently didn't exist, even though you said you were writing it. But he'll be fine. He's writing other stuff, right? So, but Steven Knight had a little quote, and I'll read it, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Lacey. He said, see if you can like dissect anything out of this very generic quote. He said, I can tell you I'm doing it. It's going well, yes. But yes, I am getting into that universe, and it's a wonderful universe. I love it. And it's good people. Again, when you get to that level, you find that the people who are there for a reason. So who's he talking about, in your opinion, Lacey? Is it Kathleen Kennedy? Is it Daisy Ridley? Or do you have anything else you can take from that quote beyond the nice assurance that he's still writing it and didn't get the Damon Lindelof treatment?
The funny thing is, when you read that quote, you read it exactly as I read it in my mind, which was him being like, yeah, it's going, it's good. Great people. It's good. Yep, it's good. And his brain's going, don't say anything NDA. Don't say anything NDA. You know what I mean? Because he says one thing, it's going to end up everywhere. Any little tidbit that people will give. I think he's talking about Kathleen Kennedy. I think he's talking about the Lucasfilm people that he's working with to write this script. I think he's working very closely with Kathleen Kennedy and the director as well. I don't know if he's talking about Daisy Ridley, though. I don't think he's
talking about, Charmaine Obaid-Chinoy.
Yeah, I think he's talking about her. I don't think he's talking about Daisy, because Daisy has a lot going on right now with her new movie coming out, Woman in the Sea, and the other movies, like Sometimes I Think About Dying, which is a hilarious title. I think she has a bunch of projects out right now, so she's not really worried about what the writer's writing. And from all her interviews, she said, yeah, I've gotten the spark notes, basically. I've gotten the highlights of what this, I haven't seen a script yet, which means that he's working with other people, not with her yet. He might be on set and work with her eventually and be there for the table reads, but right now in this planning phase, he's not working with her.
Yeah, she could have read an entire draft already, but, you know, they go through different drafts. Yeah.
But I don't think he's working directly with her enough to say, hey, there's good people. I'm working with good people. To me, that sounds like he's working with Dave Filoni. That means he's working with Kathleen Kennedy. I wouldn't even be surprised, now that I said it, that if he's not talking about Dave Filoni. Because Dave Filoni is all about, you know, the creative now. He's the top guy that's overseeing this, the continuity and the storytelling and where Star Wars is going. And I've never heard of anybody not liking Dave Filoni.
That is interesting, because when you think about everything we've gotten with Rey, Filoni didn't have really any involvement in. And since that sequel trilogy ended, he's gotten more promotions. He's stepped out of animation and into live action. And now he is in that role where he can steer the ship from a creative standpoint. So what is the Dave Filoni influence on the future of Rey and that sort of stuff? Could be interesting.
Yeah, I think he has to be involved at his level.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The fact that he was involved in this with Damon Lindelof, like, we know he was doing meetings with Damon, so there would be no reason why he wouldn't.
Yeah.
Right. There's no reason he wouldn't also be working with Steven Knight. So that's why when I hear, like, oh, good people, he's probably talking about Lucasfilm as a whole, but I would imagine he's probably talking about his team that he's working with, Dave Filoni, the director. Yeah, that's where I'm at. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I would say definitely the director, Kathleen Kennedy, and could be Filoni. But then who knows who else involved with the lore element and the continuity. Like, I don't think story group is like a thing necessarily anymore, but a lot of the players are still involved. But I think those big names are the ones he's probably referring to. I just want to learn more about this movie. So as more pages rip off the calendar, I'm getting a little more antsy about it.
Give us something, a basic synopsis would be nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything.
And hopefully that comes soon, especially with the knowledge that, well, not knowledge that, but the assumption that Skeleton Crew is going to get moved off. They're not going to be worrying about marketing that necessarily. So maybe it's focusing our attention to, oh, we're going to start filming this movie. In addition to obviously the Mandalorian and Grogu movie. I don't know. You know, I hope it happens. I know it's crazy to say that, but we've seen Star Wars movies being written that haven't happened. I mean, we got Patty Jenkins still talking about how she is writing a draft for Rogue Squadron. So you never know. But I agree that he's a good writer. People love Peaky Blinders. So hopefully we're in some good shape here.
Yeah.
All right. Last story, sort of circling back to Star Wars Celebration. We did get the announcement of the first wave of guests. So Lacey's going to pop that on the screen for people on YouTube. But we got the staple himself, the oest of G's, Anthony Daniels, going to Japan. Tamara Morrison, not surprised about that at all. Doug Chang, always great, of course.
His first signing, yep.
Yeah, and I'll never forget when we saw him at outside the lobby in our hotel, and we just sort of like waved to him, and he like waved back. He didn't know who we were, but he knew we knew who he was, which was really cool. And then Ashley Eckstein, who we still haven't met, which is sad to me because I feel like everyone else... Well, from a podcast perspective, we haven't interviewed her. So I would love to eventually get her on because I feel like she's been on every other podcast. Like a Star Wars podcast probably launched today and Ashley Eckstein will be on their show tomorrow. But
it'll happen someday.
Yeah, we'll have to get her on one day. But those are your first guests for Star Wars Celebration Japan. So very cool there. Any thoughts on the guests or anything like that, Lacey?
No, I'm pretty hyped. I hope they have Daisy signing. That would be perfect for me. And I hope Mark Hamill makes an appearance as well. I would love to get a photo with him.
Yeah. I don't know if Mark Hamill's going to Japan.
I know. I want him to because he hasn't been to the last couple celebrations.
I feel like everything that's not happening at this celebration, everyone's going to assume it's going to happen at that yet to be announced 50th anniversary back in the United States, probably in 2027. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they can't do another international one. I think two in a row is kind of, because they did two U.S. ones, two international. Yeah. Bring it back to the U.S.
And yeah, let's not forget, while they're trying to expand the international consumer market for Star Wars, that sounded really like just a filthy corporate-y thing to say, but that's what they are trying to do. It's still a very domestic-heavy franchise. And I think they'd be silly to do the 50th anniversary outside of it from where most of your fans are. Because that's going to be the one, you know, a lot of these OGs are getting older, like into their 80s. And sadly, some of them have gone. And I think this will be the one where it's sort of like the last chance to get as many of them there, that 50th yeah. anniversary one. So for people not going to Japan, I'm going to miss you. But maybe there's a chance then we get to see you at that 50th anniversary one, which we don't know if it's happening, but it'd be pretty stupid to not do that. Yeah, so
we'd assume that it's happening.
Well, yeah. Yeah. So, I am excited for Japan. So we'll see what other guests come out there. Okay. You good? Any other news you want to get into, or you think you're feeling good about it right now?
I'm good about the news, but do you want to do some super chats?
Let's do some super chats before we read some other listener quotes.
Awesome. So first, we're doing some mumbo jimbo. Thank you so much for the super chat. He said, did the TRB crew get Star Wars Celebration tickets? I was able to nab a VIP ticket for me and reg tickets for the rest of the fam. I love how he's like, you guys are regs. Hope to meet you all there. No, I'm just joking. But mumbo jimbo, way to go. We did get tickets. We're really excited. We're happy to see everybody there. Hopefully we get to do like a panel or something. We'll do some meetups. If anybody has some must-see things in Japan, let us know. I really want to go to the Studio Ghibli Museum. We'll see if it happens. But yeah, no, thanks so much. We're excited to see you. And next we have Hass. What up, man? Thanks for the super chat. He said, got a dash. Looking forward to the next era. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Hass.
Hass was one of the people that was on the call with us, and I felt so bad because we were all talking about like the little man in the queue, and he moving. He's like, I think my man is just dead. He's just not moving. Because everybody was like, is my man asleep? Is my man not moving? What's going on? I felt bad. And like as time went on, I think everyone did a really good job kind of encouraging and keeping people's spirits high, because it is a little draining to just sit there and sit there and sit there. But it's like I'm excited to see everybody.
George Costanza, my little man's an idiot. Thank you, Mumbo Jimbo and Hass and everybody who sent in super chats. We really appreciate it. before we get into Resistance Transmissions, just another reminder that TRB is going to be a weekly podcast every week. It's going to be on your favorite podcast app. It's going to be live on TRB Live on YouTube. So that is not changing. Nor is the content we're doing on Patreon for TRB, the Resistance broadcast. But again, under this banner, we have a new podcast that we're launching Monday, Nerdy and Nice, which is going to be all the other nerdy stuff we all love. And we're going to talk about all that on Mondays on that show. So again, just be on the lookout for Nerdy and Nice. It's going to hit all your favorite podcast apps on its own feed. So don't look for it on the Resistance broadcast feed. That's not going anywhere. So wherever you listen to the Resistance broadcast or watch it, same. Hasn't changed. Nerdy Nice, going to be on its own feed. So hopefully you check it out. All right, Lacey, it is time for one of our most fun segments that we do. So let's hand it to you for Resistance Transmissions.
I forgot how loud that is. Oh my goodness. Guys, it's time for Resistance Transmissions. So those of you that don't know, this is the part of the show where we take in stuff from social media, specifically X, Twitter. We put up a crazy, wacky situation, and you guys give your answers. And I read them live, and I don't know what you're going to say. I don't know what the scenario is. But from my understanding, it's not that wacky from what you just hinted at, John. So we'll see how it goes. So the situation this week is the Acolyte premieres next month. I can't believe it's already May. Wow. Do you have any predictions of what might happen in this series? Well, this is a good one. First up is Mike Romori, a drum Jedi. What up, Mike? He said, we will see battle droids with the Trade Federation involved. It has to be a given. Shrug. Emoji.
I thought that was a good one. Yeah, good job, Mike.
Next is Andrew Staley at Deuce_Staley. What up, Andrew? He said, I think one of the Jedi seen in the trailers is the Acolyte, secretly working within like Palpatine.
Which one, Andrew? Which one?
No, no more Palpatine. Get out of here.
No, he's saying like Palpatine. He's not saying.
I know. I just don't even want mentions of Palpatine. Like, just.
All right. No, just.
Next is Children of the Watch, a Star Wars after show at Cot Watch. What up, guys? How's it going, guys?
What they said up?
Fenestra Roe may be compromised. Eyeball, eyeball, eyeball emoji.
That is also interesting. Now, I'm not very well versed in the High Republic. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I am, but mm-hmm. I understand that Vernestra Roe is a popular character out of the High Republic.
She is.
Hair
gone.
Cut. I don't know what that means from a metaphoric standpoint as far as maybe turning, but I haven't heard anyone say that before. So if Alex and Mac are feeling it, mm-hmm. I'm going to keep my eye on that. I'm going to keep three sets of eyeballs on that.
And they are doing a High Republic book club right now where they're running through all the books for High Republic.
Oh, they are? Nice. Yeah, check those guys out. They are, honestly, there's a ton of Star Wars podcasts and we're friends with a ton of them. But Alex and Mac are just really good dudes. And we got to have them back. We got to have them back on the show.
We definitely do. At the same time.
Yeah. Children of the Watch.
Next is Rob Bartlett at RB7Rads. What up, Rob? He said, bold prediction is we won't see Yoda, Palpatine, or Plagueis, but we might see Yaddle. Hand face emoji, laughing emoji.
Wow.
Do you like how I read the emojis?
No, I don't. I can't stand it.
What do you think about that prediction? Do you think we're going to see Yoda, Palpatine, or Plagueis?
Bold prediction is we won't see Yoda, Palpatine, or Plagueis, but we might see Yaddle. I think
womp, womp.
I'm still give me Plagueis. Where else are they going to give us Plagueis?
Yeah, that's true. Next is Brennan at Qui-Gon Bren. What up, Brennan? He said, I'm predicting a relevant Yaddle scene, not just a Leonardo DiCaprio point while and whistle cameo. I'm imagining a scene that will mirror or at least foreshadow Yaddle's story in Tales of the Jedi, bookending her character with pivotal moments in the rise of the dark side.
That's a good point. Yaddle definitely met her fate, needling in some investigative stuff.
That's always how it happens. The good guy.
That could
always
be cool. The question is then, is it CG Yaddle the way they transformed Yoda to CG Yoda?
Isn't puppet Yaddle like really bad in the movies? Yaddle's like
puppet Yaddle.
Isn't that puppet Yaddle? She's like
puppet
I
Yaddle.
Swear.
Look, yeah, puppet Yaddle looks like she had a few glasses of something before they had that Jedi meeting. Puppet Yaddle did look a little rough, but
I'm gonna
also
bring up puppet Yaddle.
Puppet Yoda, like people. Here's the thing that's happening with the late '90s now. Everything that was like bad from the late '90s. Like the young generation now, like Gen Z or Gen whatever is next after that.
I stand by what I said. I stand by what I just did.
Yeah, it was looking rough. By. But she, they're like bringing back, ironically bringing back all the bad things. So like Limp Bizkit's back, Creed is back, Yaddle's back. It's just like, but they forgot that it's ironic. And now all these bands are actually back making all this money. And all the people going to see them are people who weren't around when they came out. And now the rest of us have to suffer again. So this is what's happening.
Is this your hero, everyone? Is this
suffering?
Is this her suffering?
Look at her hair. Can we go back to that again?
Wild, wild hair.
I didn't realize that Yaddle had Conan O'Brien's hair.
I'm pretty sure you could Photoshop Conan O'Brien onto this and it would look just like him.
Brian! This is what I'm saying. I gotta start learning this stuff. so I can just make these. But that is Conan O'Brien's hair when he like went less gingery.
Suffering.
Yeah. Conan O'Brien was suffering on Hot Ones. Did you see that?
Did you see the interview he did recently where he they were just kept asking him basically how his butt was afterwards?
That I'm not kidding.
He said
that
he was down. He said he was downtown in LA welding buildings.
Can I tell you? I watched that Hot Ones episode after I put my kids to bed while eating wings. So it was a very immersive experience for me. And I don't do spicy stuff like buffalo, sriracha. Like I'm a lightweight when it comes to the spicy stuff.
Really? I've actually enjoyed sriracha lately.
Sriracha's fine. But anything like the Scovilles and the 5 million Scovilles.
Da bomb.
I can't do that stuff. Mm. But for me, the buffalo is my hot level. So I'm sitting there watching Conan suffer and I'm suffering. But then he's like, he goes on these rants, which are obviously tongue in cheek. But I felt so inspired by Conan O'Brien. He's from my era in terms of like watching late night in the late 90s.
He's one of the best.
He is. And I'm going to check out his new show, like Conan O'Brien, like Travels or whatever it's called.
All comedians do the travel show eventually. They just want to go places.
but it's Conan and he's funny. And I really enjoyed that Hot Ones. I could have saved that to talk about on Nerdy and Nice, but we have a lot to talk about on that
show.
Well,
that's like, he does a great, bringing it back to Star Wars, he did an awesome job interviewing Harrison Ford during Indiana Jones. And he's just like asking me, he's like, so you're in this? And then Harrison's like, did you write Han Solo on your notebook? Like, you don't know who I am?
That interview is incredible. Because
so good.
Because Conan knows how to talk to Harrison Ford without annoying Harrison Ford with like
Harrison Ford opened up so much in that interview.
He got to be like a regular dude. Yeah, it was very cool. Yeah.
But he was just like, did you write that on your, do you know who I am?
It was so good. I saw we sort of hijacked Resistance Transmissions, but it was a nice little run. Yeah.
Look at that. That's what it's for. That's what we do this for, guys. That's
Yaddle O'Brien, ladies and gentlemen. We have a last name. It's Yaddle O'Brien.
All right. Atlee Green at Lee Green said, Yoda will appear via hologram communication with more hair. How much hair, Atlee? How much hair are we talking? How much hair? All right. Kylo 10, Full Commander, what up? Said, I feel like we're going to learn something new here about the Force or a Force-related being. The High Republic has given us some of that, but I wonder if they'll hold to those things in the Acolyte. Parenthesis, Jedi all feeling the Force in different ways, the Nameless, Drengear, etc.
Oh, yeah, the Nameless.
The Nameless.
Mm-hmm.
Dun, good. Dun, dun, dun.
I like it.
Wolf King at Wolf King 2010 said, a Sith holocron is found by a Jedi Knight and they bring it back to Coruscant for a council member to study. Hashtag Resistance Transmissions.
Jeremy, I like that. I think that's pretty good. That would be interesting. Anytime there's, not necessarily using it as a MacGuffin, but anytime there is some sort of object or something that can unlock mysteries, I love all that type of stuff. So that'd be interesting. Yeah.
Last but not least is Mr. Doctor at Dale Pumasdale. What up, Dale Pumasdale?
Doctor.
The doctor. He said,
Dr.
or they
Pershing.
Said, end up like this. After Pershing, you'll end up like Yaddle. Just
completely cooked.
Just done. Like, I'm sorry. That, everyone's saying that's the person that, like, is the greatest Jedi.
Come on, yeah. Guys. Yaddle is me at, like, 5 p.m. on a Monday. Just absolutely done.
Like, the other night when I called John to do podcast stuff, and you're like, yeah, yeah.
I honestly, I feel like I was about to just lose my pulse. I don't know what was happening.
I don't know what was happening.
Litting headache.
Like, you okay? You're
and
right.
You're like, you want to just talk real quick about the podcast? And then like 45 minutes later, I'm just like, kill me.
Okay, stop. Oh. We're both having a great time. All right. Last but not least, Dr. Dale says, Carrie Ann Moss is just in the opening scene because she gets killed and may be in flashbacks.
Everyone, I like that answer too.
Die.
Yeah.
I don't think she's dying, guys. I don't think so. Watch me be totally wrong and she dies in like the first 10 minutes.
Could happen.
It could happen. And that's it.
I love that this mystery show is full of mysteries in itself.
Did you literally just say, I'm so glad this mystery show is filled with mysteries?
Well, I mean like meta mysteries in that we don't know what's happening.
Cheers, John. I can't wait for this mystery show filled with mysteries.
Are you not listening to what I'm saying? You're so obsessed with like, oh, got to end the segment smoothly. You're not even listening to what I'm saying.
No, I'm listening to you. I'm just laughing that you used. It reminds me one time I was watching this movie and Matt comes in and goes, oh, is that the time traveler's wife? You know, the one where the guy is time traveling and he has a wife? And I was like, yes, that is the movie. You know what? I'm just going to leave this up for the rest of the show just because you keep making faces.
Oh, God. Yaddle. All right. All right. So that is it. So thank you to everybody who submitted their predictions. You are now on record. No, I'm just kidding. But it's fun. This is one of the most fun parts for me of being a Star Wars fan is getting together with fellow fans and guessing what's going to happen and speculating.
And spoils hats.
Nerdy with it. Because really, you step outside the bubble and you read all 10 of these quotes or anything that we say about this stuff to normal people at a regular party, they're going to be like, oh my God, that person is so weird. But we shall be weird together. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening and watching and being a part of TRB. It means a great deal to us. All the plugs, you know them. Just find the channel, youtube.com/@TRBpodcasts. Find the Patreon, patreon.com/TRBpodcasts. And of course, your favorite podcast app, the Resistance Broadcast. If you can leave us a rating, that'd be really cool. 5 stars on Apple or Spotify or whatever. It helps us show up in searches. Because I think there's like 8,000 Star Wars podcasts, which is partly why we're starting another podcast. But TRB is forever and we are here. So thank you. A special shout out to our Patreon movie star generals and our silver screen spice runners. First, the generals: Carmelo, John Reese, Jenna Rosewater, Frank Grande, Nick Kratz, Chris Morales, Brian Smith, Danny, Mike Ramori, Brendan McLaughlin, Sneaky Zebra, Dave Hornack, and Jolton Jedi DiMaggio. And the spice runners: David Probus, Neil Shaw, Kendall Gellner, Andrew Staley, Jeremy Myers, and the Fort Worthian. And all of our patrons, all of our listeners, however you're into TRB, thank you so much. Lacey and I will be back with you on Monday, but with the first episode ever of Nerdy and Nice, our pop culture podcast. So be sure to tune in, whether that's on this channel right here or Nerdy and Nice on your favorite podcast app. Follow, share, subscribe, check it out. Also, check out our new TRB logo. For our audio listeners, it'll be most of our profile pics across the board. But yeah, check it out. A lot of new stuff coming. We have, you know, we're working on the future of merch, a lot of things behind the scenes. So thanks for sticking with us. Thanks for being patient. Thanks for supporting what we do here. We are regular people with real jobs and families, and we put a lot of time into this. So it means such a great deal to us. So your support really does go a long way, and we can't do it without. However you support us. Thank you. For me, Johnny Hoey on X. It's mostly where I do the social medias with this type of stuff. And my other movie podcast, Just Like the Movies. Check that out on your favorite podcast app as well. We just did Man of Steel, if you like underrated Superman movies. Lacey, where can people talk to you about Yaddle O'Brien?
People can find me on social media at Lacey Gillerin, on TikTok at It's Lacey Gillerin. And I just want to give a special shout out to our buddy Clayton Sandell on his new book that's out.
Yes.
Thank you to Inside Editions for sending us a copy. We can't wait to dig into it. We're so proud of you, Clayton, and everything that you're accomplishing. You do amazing things. Also, Kelly Knox also helped contribute to this. So
and
awesome job. Ben.
Yeah.
And SD Bend. Yep. I was getting there too. Awesome. All three of you guys, congratulations. Go pick up a copy for May the 4th. What better way to celebrate than with a bunch of knowledge about
that's a big book.
The Jedi. It is. It's very heavy. My arm hurts.
Very cool. Yeah. Congrats, Clayton. Keep going, man. We love you. And
we will have Clayton on the show soon to talk about it.
Gotta have him on the show.
Scheduling, but we haven't forgotten. We want to have him on.
Yeah. I wonder if Clayton's ever going to want to dip onto Nerdy and Nice. He's a nerd across the board.
He is.
Yeah.
We could have a whole episode just talking about Casa Bonita.
Yeah. It would be fitting if Clayton was our first ever guest on that podcast, since he's been our most frequent guest on TRB. Mm-hmm. All right. Here's the deal. I'm going to win the pizza bet, just to refresh that. And then beyond that, we hope you all enjoyed this episode. We hope you have a wonderful weekend. And we will see you Monday on Nerdy and Nice. And then a week from tonight, right here with you on the Resistance broadcast. So until next time, we'll see you around, kids.